not leave us. That he is faithful.
Yes, yes.
And his followers also have eternal separation. But he will also raise them to life. So if we believe and trust God, we'll be right back.
after that, but I can keep on going. Oh, yeah. And being washed in the blood.
Yes.
You see, that's a process. Washed in the blood. Covered in the blood, he's done his part. Of scripture in 2 Corinthians, and just reading some of the verses with it, I just deem from the theme of that what it was speaking of and reminding me about the adequacy of God. Church, he's more than enough. And you don't try and do and be on your own. God is adequate enough. In and of your own strength, knowledge, power, your intellect, doesn't measure up. And we need to drop off our pillar of pride and realize that God is indeed adequate enough. So much to the fact that he beckons to remember what he did at Calvary. Ultimate expression of his unconditional love. Nothing but a perfect, unblemished sacrifice would satisfy what God demanded of a wretch and sinful people. But his son Jesus was that sacrifice. One who knew no sin but became sin for a wretch like we were. The scripture takes us to the moment on the night before our Savior was betrayed. He sat with his disciples, and he had taken the bread, and he blessed the bread, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And then he had the cup, and when he had blessed the cup, saying, "This is the blood in the New Testament, that you drink of it in remembrance of me." But the Lord beckons us to, before partaking of the bread and the wine, to examine yourselves. And if you see that there's anything in your spirit that is contrary and disbelief unto the righteousness of God, ask him to remove it at this time. So we give you an opportunity just right now. Just meditate. His goodness, his mercy, and us and our unworthiness. Thank you, Lord. This is the bread that is broken for you. Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us eat together. Thank you. This wine represents the blood in the New Testament. For as often as you drink it, you show forth my death, burial, and resurrection until I come again. Let us drink together. Amen and amen. Put your hands together for the sacrifice of our Lord. If there are those in the vestibule, you may allow the amen at this time.
Have the opportunity
to come before your presence, and we thank you for it. And Lord, we've just grown to the knowledge and understanding that we have you 24 hours a day, every minute, every second, hour of the day. You walk with us, you talk with us, you lead and you're guiding us. Thank you for every reminder of your goodness and your grace. Your grace is sufficient. Your grace is adequate. Your grace is enough. And we lean on, trust in, rely on, because there's nothing we are without you. There's nothing we can do without you. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters that are in this sanctuary right now. You know what's on their mind, what's on their heart. You know what they're going through right now. You know what troubles them. You know the praise even that they may have on their heart. You may know. You know the sorrow that they may be feeling right now. You know the confusion that may be feeling right now. But Lord, we can just pause right now. Simply look in another direction rather than focusing on our troubles, our trials, our tribulations, our problems. If we could just turn to the heavens, and then Father, just shift our focus, that we keep our mind stayed on you.
Thank you for walking with us,
leading and guiding us. Lord, we will continue to give you all praise and honor and glory for these and all petitions. In Jesus' name, amen. And my sisters, we'll hear you do indeed hear more clearly now when you're going through something. When your heart is heavy, when you're confused, when you don't know which way to turn, God is speaking to you loudly. And that's what it takes, because I've heard it mentioned, we don't oftentimes pray to him when we're on the clouds. But that's how he's getting our attention. Bringing you down to a humble position where you know that you've tried everything else and it's not worked out. So he speaks clearly now. When you're on your knees, when tears are falling, when you're confused in your mind, when you have no peace, try listening to the other ear. Ushers, the scripture for our tithes and offering. I could rant on and on and on, but we got to get through this here. Our tithing offering comes from Luke. And it reads, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, with it all shall be measured to you again." It's God's word for God's people. There will be two baskets circulating. The wicker basket is for you to give of your tithe, your benevolent offering, I'm sorry. And the silver tray is for you to give of your tithes and offering. You may give at this time. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We ask you to bless these gifts that you so graciously and faithfully to provide for us. We give with a humble and gracious heart. Please accept these our gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do it. So he will bring you out. Come on, Sister Lynn.
You're How many of y'all know God will bring you out? Oh, I can't hear y'all. I say, how many of y'all know God will bring you out? And one of the reasons why we know God will bring you out is because his blood still works. Y'all give God some praise for Minister Lisa Lewis.
Yeah.
so much and surrender ourselves to your will, thanking you for allowing us to celebrate another Resurrection Sunday. And we give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray, amen. Amen. So good to see all of you here today. I have two quick announcements before I get into the Word of God today. The first one is that I would like y'all to help me wish my wife a happy birthday. Her birthday is on Friday. Amen. Amen. My second announcement, I got three announcements. My second announcement is that we got King James here with us today. King James, amen. Amen. So glad he could make it today. All right. Praise the Lord. My third announcement is this. This week, we are not having any Bible Institute classes. Y'all really need a lot of prayer. I'm serious. Y'all need a lot of prayer. But no. So let me clarify. No Bible Academy on Tuesday. No Sovereignty of God Tuesday evening. This week. No Bible Institute noontime Wednesday. No Bible Institute evening on Wednesday. I said no classes. But, don't y'all act crazy when I say this. But I will be having my Sunday school teacher's class as regularly scheduled. Okay? Sunday school teacher's class, teachers and assistants, we will have our class as regularly scheduled, but no Bible Institute classes this week. All right? All right, let's go to Exodus 29. And after that, I'm going to go to Exodus 29.
Fantastic.
Exodus 29, after that, get John 1. On chapter 1, Exodus 29, John chapter 1. Then I'd like to go to Revelation 5. Oh no, let her talk. Let my baby talk. I know you ain't trying to have my baby to be quiet. She's supposed to be up here playing with me anyway. So, Exodus 29, John 1, Revelation 5. Everybody got it? All right. And Bellamy, you say whatever you move by the Holy Spirit to say, baby, here. All right, I'm going to start at John 1. Start at John 1, where it says in verse 29, the next day John saw Jesus coming to him and said, look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's all there. Let's go to Revelation 5. This is an image, a symbolic image that God gave John of Jesus in heaven after his resurrection. Verse number 1, Revelation 5. And I saw lying on the opened hand of him who was seated on the throne, a scroll or a book written within and on the back,
closed and sealed with seven seals. Now this is God the Father sitting on the throne. And I saw a strong angel announcing in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll? And who is entitled and deserves and is morally fit to break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth in the realm of the dead, Hades, was able to open the scroll or to take a single look at its contents. Then John says, "And I wept audibly and bitterly because no one was found fit to open the scroll or to inspect it. Then one of the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin said to me, 'Stop weeping. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root and the source of David, has won, has overcome and conquered.'" Hallelujah. "He can open the scroll and break its seven seals. And there between the throne and the four living creatures or beings and among the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, the sevenfold Holy Spirit, who have been sent on duty far and wide into all the earth. He," the Lamb, "then went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne." Now the Lamb is symbolic of Jesus Christ. "And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin prostrated themselves before the Lamb. Each was holding a harp or a guitar, and they had golden bowls full of incense, fragrant spices, and gums for burning, which are the prayers of God's people, the saints." For those who are not familiar with that concept, I know many are, but many may not. Your prayers are being collected. Your prayers are being collected. And at the end of the age, God is going to use them in his warfare. That's why when you do pray, and according to the will of God, it is a sweet-smelling incense that goes up to the Lord. But keep this in mind. All of your prayers are being collected. Okay? All right, everybody. Let's keep reading. Verse 9. "And now they sing a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to break the seals that are on it, for you were slain, sacrificed, and with your blood,'" the blood still works, y'all, yeah, "'you purchased men unto God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom or a royal race and priests to our God, and they shall reign as kings over the earth.'" You just saw your future, and you also saw where the Lord has said you are a royal race. Are y'all here with me? You are priests. Each of you is a priest because you offer sacrifices to God. Okay? So I want you to know your position. You are a priest and you are royalty. You are kings and queens in God's eyes. And when the next age comes, we will be ruling the earth. Are y'all here with me? All right. Let me go to the last verse, 11. Then, y'all here? Then I looked and I heard the voices of many angels on every side of the throne and of the living creatures and the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin. And they numbered 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying in a loud voice, deserving is the Lamb who was sacrificed to receive all the power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and majesty, glory and splendor, and what? Blessing. 13, and I heard every created thing in heaven and on earth and under the earth, in the land of departed spirits and on the sea and all that is in it, crying out together to him who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb, be ascribed the blessing and the honor and the majesty, glory and splendor and the power, the might and dominion forever and ever through the... That's why the Bible tells you, don't worry about what's going on at your little job. You're going to be helping to rule the earth. Now, I'm going to make this quick. Because hold on one sec. Sorry, I'm sweating, y'all. I had to do it. When John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," initially I thought, and there are those who thought, that he was talking about Jesus being the Passover Lamb. The only problem with that is that the Passover lamb was not sacrificed for sin. So that means when he talks about the Lamb of God, he said, who takes away the sins. Are y'all here with me? The lambs weren't normally used for sin offerings. So then, what is John actually talking about? He's not talking about the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb, remember, was when they were getting ready to come out of Egypt. And that night before, the Lord said, kill a lamb and put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. So the blood is there, but that lamb was not sacrificed for sin. It was sacrificed for protection. So when he says the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, what is important, do I keep going in and out? Okay, I'm good, all right. So when he keeps up, when he says the Lamb of God, what we have to do then is find out what lamb is he talking about, so that you will know when you see it and when you read it, that you will know what this is referring to and what Jesus represented on the cross as the Lamb. Now, during the day, there were five sacrifices that were being offered. Five sacrifices were being offered. You had the sin sacrifice, which was the first one. After that, you had the guilt sacrifice. After the guilt sacrifice, you had the burnt sacrifice. After the burnt sacrifice, you had the meal sacrifice. When they converted the Hebrew into the Greek, they mistranslated it as meat, but it's actually the meal sacrifice. The last one was the peace sacrifice. Okay. These were offered in the tabernacle and in the temple every day. The symbolism is how it points toward Jesus. Sin sacrifice represents the fact that we were born into a condition we had nothing to do with. So the sin sacrifice is God forgiving you, Paige, for the sins you don't know you committing. Are y'all here with me? After the sin sacrifice, you got the guilt sacrifice. That's the stuff you know you did. Amen. Well, y'all ain't done nothing up in here. Sin covers what you don't know. Guilt covers what you do know. That's when, Ty, you come up with the guilt sacrifice. After that, you have the burnt sacrifice, because the fire is supposed to burn all of that away. Are y'all hearing me? And the fire represents the fact that you have now been filled and covered with the Holy Spirit. Then you had the meal sacrifice, which could have been prepared three ways, but I won't get into that today. But the meal sacrifice was what represented your flesh, mankind being sanctified, so that even though you are walking in this world and you are doing your best to do what God asks you to do, there are times when your flesh fights against your spirit. There are times when your flesh tries to pull you in the wrong direction. And that's what the meal sacrifice is for, the sanctification of the body, as well as thanking God for the fruits of what he has given you. The final one is the peace sacrifice, which means that after you've gone through the sin sacrifice, after you've gone through the guilt sacrifice, after you've gone through the burnt sacrifice, after you've gone through the meal sacrifice, now you are at peace with God. There are five sacrifices because five is the number of man. And so you had five sacrifices. Yet the altar upon which the sacrifices are made must itself be sanctified. You can't have offerings given to God on a dirty altar, which is why the Lord says, I will not dwell in an unclean temple. That's why the Holy Spirit had to come clean you out, even though you still got issues and you still got faults. As far as God is concerned, you are clean. Isn't grace amazing, y'all? So, this is the thing. Go to Exodus 29. And we'll see what Jesus represented. Exodus 29. Is everybody there? Let's go down to verse 38. At verse number 38, now you're about to see what John meant when he said he's the Lamb of God that takes away sin. Verse 38, now this is what you shall offer. This is God instructing them on the altar. Look at this. Two lambs, a year old, shall be offered day by day continually. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, the other lamb in the evening. And with the one lamb, a tenth measure of fine flour mixed with a fourth of a hin of beaten oil and a fourth of a hin of wine for a drink offering to be poured out. And the other lamb you shall offer at evening and do with it as with the cereal or the meal offering of the morning, and with the drink offering for a sweet and satisfying fragrance, an offering made by fire to the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tent of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak there to you. That's all. This is known as the Tamid sacrifice. T-A-M-I-D. The Tamid sacrifice. T-A-M-I-D. At dawn, the priest would bring out the first lamb. At the third hour of the day, which is 9 a.m., they would then sacrifice that lamb, place that lamb on the altar. The lamb's sacrifice was to sanctify the altar for the rest of the sacrifices of the day. When the lamb was sacrificed at 9 a.m., wood was put on top of the lamb so that the rest of the day's sacrifices had to go on top of that lamb. The lamb was the first sacrifice of the day. At 3 p.m., the sacrificial day ended. And they, at 12 noon, brought out the second lamb. And then at 3, they sacrificed that lamb and put that lamb on top of all of the other sacrifices. So you had a lamb at the bottom, you had a lamb at the top. It had to burn continually so that in the evening sacrifice, they actually burned that lamb all night until the next morning. It had to be 24-hour sanctification. Every day at dawn, while that evening lamb is burning, bring out the morning lamb. Sacrifice him at the third hour which is 9 a.m. After you sacrifice him, then you can make all the other sacrifices, but he's got to be first. Are y'all here with me? And after you do the tamid sacrifice, then we can do the sin sacrifice. Then we can do the guilt sacrifice. Then we can do the burnt sacrifice. Then we can do the meal sacrifice. Then we can do the peace sacrifice. And after the peace sacrifice, you got to end it all with a lamb. So I want all of the sacrifices in a sandwich. Come on, Deke. Come on, Deke. I want all of them. You hear me, Dwayne? I want all of them in a sandwich. I want a lamb at the bottom. I want a lamb at the top. And all the stuff in the middle is okay. I just need them lambs to be burning for 24 hours. So what does that mean? When you offer the tamid sacrifice, you got the sin sacrifice included. You got the guilt sacrifice included. You got the burnt sacrifice included. You got the meal sacrifice included. You got the peace sacrifice included. Everything is included in those lambs. That's why Jesus said, after I come, no need for no more sacrifices. You would put, y'all still with me? I'm almost through here. Look, you would put the tamid sacrifice and this thing. Lord have mercy. You would put the tamid sacrifice on the altar and begin burning it at 9 a.m. Jesus began being tortured and prepared for crucifixion at 9 a.m. Twelve o'clock, getting ready for that next segment of hours. And so then, that's when you finish up the sacrifices that are going to bring peace with God. Jesus was on the cross at 12 and it got dark. I wished I had somebody here with me. Then at 3 p.m., you let that last lamb lay to close out the sacrifices. Which is why at 3 p.m. Jesus said, it is finished. That's the lamb he is. And in him, every sin is forgiven. All of your guilt can be removed. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. God is allowing you to walk holy in an unholy body. And you now have peace with God. All because of the Lamb who was slain. And that's why they all said to the Lamb, all glory, all majesty, all blessing, all power, all dominion, everything goes to him. When we come here on Sundays, we ain't coming to entertain. We ain't coming to see who's here. We coming because we know a lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. A lamb who died for my sins and yours.
That's why when he got up, he said, all power. Y'all ain't hearing me, are you? All power is in my hands. The lamb, the tamed sacrifice, Lamb of God, who took away your sins and mine. All right, y'all. God, our Father, we thank you for teaching us your truth, helping us to know more about who we praise in and why he's worthy of all praise. We ask that if there's somebody here who has not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior right where you are, say, Lord, I believe you died for my sins at Calvary, and I believe that you arose 3 days later. After that, say, now, Lord, burn me with your holy fire. Help me to be what you want me to be. And help me to always know that no matter how messed up I am, I'm at peace with God. All because of Jesus. There's somebody here who wants to join this fellowship. There are cards in front of you, in the back of the pews in front of you. Take one, fill it out front and back, and put it in the wooden box in the vestibule on your way out of the door, and members of the membership intake ministry will be in touch with you, and it would be a pleasure for us to love you with the love of Jesus the Christ. Now, unto him who is able to keep you from falling. I said, him who is able to keep you from falling. And to present you faultless. Can y'all imagine? This is in the middle of it. But can y'all imagine when we stand before God because of what Jesus did? Now God says we never committed a sin in our lives. Faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be all glory, all majesty, all dominion, and all power, not only now, but through the eternities of the eternities. It is in Greek Jesus' name, in Hebrew Yeshua's name, that we give him all the glory. Everybody who's thankful, give God a great big hallelujah. And tell him, thank you, Jesus. Put your hands together. Give God some praise. God bless you. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful rest of the day.